One of my great heroes is Isaac Newton, of course. And he starts out by saying, "But be it as it will, methinks one of the Ten Commandments given by God in Mount Sinai, pressed by diverse of the prophets, observed by our Savior, his apostles, the first Christians for 300 years, and with a day's alteration by all Christians to this day, should not be grounded on a fiction." Okay, and there he's writing a letter to somebody privately. Now, what does that mean? Does anyone know what that means? Aside from the Old English. What's he talking about? Yeah, there's only one commandment that's got something to do with days, right? Fourth commandment. Exodus 20:11. And here's he's saying in this one word, in this one paragraph, Isaac is dispelling. You see, people will try and teach you that Isaac was really a Unitarian or a deist or something like this, but here he's saying our Savior. He's referring to his Savior. He believed in the personal Christ, okay? Not like they would like you to believe, because they don't want to connect such a great man and his accomplishments with a strong biblical faith, okay? But it's there, and it's undeniable, okay? And so I gave you some references later on to some things, because often you'll see in books, they'll just say, well, Isaac Newton was an Arian, and so he was heretical. No, he was not orthodox in the sense that he didn't subscribe to the teachings of the Anglican Church. His belief on the Trinity was more like the Eastern Orthodox belief on the Trinity. So he was not an Arian. In fact, people have discussed that at great length, and I gave a reference you can get online that will convincingly show you that. And it all comes down to the word of being of one substance, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things are made. And it's a question of what does that Greek mean? And of course, Isaac was a scholar in Greek and Hebrew and all the Oriental languages, so he was well qualified to know what that meant. And so he had a good understanding of Scripture. Now, Newton, of course, the Newton's laws of motion, the most famous of all, his second law of motion, law of universal gravitation that served us well for many centuries. It's only with advent of Einstein that there were small corrections to his law. Calculus, a co-inventor with Leibniz, of course, and many other mathematical discoveries, the Newtonian-style telescope, and lesser known of his works are his chronology of ancient kingdoms and biblical prophecy. He did a lot of work on that. And this is something I recommend you all get a hold of this book if you ever can. The fellow that... I had to get it on library loan from Texas, and we're out in California. And the copy that there's some guy up north, I called him in Washington, not D.C., but in the state of Washington, and he had stopped publishing this book, but he had made a reprint copy from the Library of Congress version that has a signature of Thomas Jefferson's. This was Thomas Jefferson's personal copy of this particular book. But in here, it's quite interesting because Newton was a scholar in chronology, and he, in these prophecies, of course, he goes through, he had access to all the royal archives on genealogies and things like this. And of course he goes through the standard thing of where did everybody come from Noah. The standard thing like this is in Bill Cooper's book. This is in Isaac Newton's book. I don't know if some of you remember Bill Cooper's book on After the Flood. And it's good to read Isaac, Sir Isaac, because he's always fun. And here he says, "I have a fundamental belief in the Bible as the Word of God, written by men who were inspired. I study the Bible daily." I think he lived to 81 or something like that, so he studied it for a long time. He says, "Atheism is so senseless. When I look at the solar system, I see the earth at the right distance from the sun to receive the proper amounts of heat and light. This did not happen by chance." Okay, so here we have the first intelligent designer guy that was a scientist in the modern sense of the word. Also, this chronology of ancient kingdoms amended. Since he was a scholar, he found the extra 400 years in Manetho's history of Egypt that has been, to this day, the error that has been propagated in the ancient chronologies of Egypt, which places the Exodus at the wrong time and places all later Hebrew history at the wrong time. And of course, Isaac was up on this, and now there's scholars in Oxford, and there's a group of folks that are pushing for, yeah, you've got to take those extra 400 years out and make the biblical things match up again. The biblical archaeology match up, because I don't know if a lot of you know, biblical archaeology doesn't match up, the modern biblical archaeology doesn't match up with the Bible. Okay, it doesn't match up. If you just read about every Passover, you'll find an article in the New York Times and in the Los Angeles Times, typically, right around Passover, very sensitive times, telling the Jews that there's really no trace of David or any other biblical characters. It's all just some kind of fictional thing. And, of course, the Jews were never in Israel. And part of the reason they're never in Israel is because they're looking for them at the wrong time, 400 years too late, usually.